I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about news of the week, then do a two quarterback mock draft with guest Greg Smith of 2QBs.com. I'm co-host Bobby Sylvester with Mike Tagliere. Greg, thanks for joining us.
Hey man, I'm super excited to be back. It's fun to be thinking about fantasy football again, man. The baseball thing was all right. Let's be honest, it was okay. But football, man, this is getting exciting. I'm pumped.
Yeah, and especially about a 2QB mock draft. You're the dude to have on for this. You do 2QBs.com. You guys give great advice. And, you know, this is a niche that needs to be used a lot more often as far as I'm concerned. The quarterback is the most vital position of football teams. Why isn't it the case for fantasy football? It needs to move that way. And 2QB drafts, that's the way to go as far as I'm concerned.
I wanted to chime in on this because I think it's a really interesting dilemma that I've had myself. So, you know, being a fantasy football player, we hate change, don't we? We never want to switch things. Like, think about it. Your phone, if a new iPhone comes out or you want to switch to a Droid or whatever you want to do, when you switch things, you do, when there's change, it's things that you don't like. And so when people bring up 2QB leagues, I used to be totally against it because it was just another thing that I had to change and I had to figure out how to adapt my strategy to. Now, granted, if you know the game and you're going to be fine regardless. But when we get down to the nitty-gritties and you're in a league with a bunch of diehards and you go into two quarterback leagues, having someone like Greg on is pretty exciting because he's going to be able to talk us through the strategy. And maybe, you know, something that we do that we're not as familiar with 2QB leagues as someone like him is, where it's like me, I only play in one league where it's a 2QB and then I have another league that's a super flex. So I'm really excited to learn. I'm always open ears when it comes to these things. So Greg, I definitely look forward to you ragging on us and telling us what we're doing wrong.
Oh, I'm not going to do that at all. I mean, I'm super excited that you guys are down to support the format. I do believe it is the best way to play fantasy. And honestly, if people just try it, I think they'll really like it. It's one of those things where, like Bobby talked about, the quarterbacks are so important. And for us to just dismiss half of them as not even being draftable, even though they're compiling, you know, viable fantasy stats, like we've seen, you know, the late round quarterback strategy kind of take over in 1QB leagues, and 2QB turns that on its ear a little bit and says, okay, well, what if you can start an extra quarterback? What are you going to do? And the answer may not be as simple as you think. And I'm hoping that we can all kind of learn this stuff together, like, and, you know, find the tools to, you know, learn to draft in different sorts of formats just based on our own instincts and experiences, because that's what fantasy is all about.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to get into that today. First, we're going to start with news. But so y'all know we've been doing this signed jersey giveaway. We just mailed out the Le'Veon Bell jersey last week. And this time it's a signed blue T.Y. Hilton jersey. All you have to do to enter the sweepstakes, subscribe and review us on Twitter, then screenshot it and send it over to contest@fantasypros.com. Now, Tags, let's go ahead and move on and talk about the news of the week.
Yeah, the news of the week, obviously the big deal breaker here is Eric Decker signed a one-year deal with the Tennessee Titans. You know, this offseason, Greg, we've heard the Titans come in, and all they talked about before the draft is we are willing to spend equity in order to get Marcus Mariota some weapons. And, you know, we saw Alshon Jeffrey out there, and we saw him sign a one-year deal, and we're like, what are they doing here? You know, they talked about this, so I was convinced that they were going to draft Corey Davis with one of their top two picks that they had. They ended up making sure they got him right at the top, and it's a good thing they did, because the wide receivers came off fast and furious. But what does Eric Decker being added to the Titans roster do for the pass catchers there, to Rishard Matthews, to Corey Davis?
Yeah, I'm not only interested to see how it plays out for those guys, but also for Mariota himself. Like, he was a guy who, in two quarterback leagues, you could start to make that case for, you know, ranked right behind the top tier of guys based upon his rushing ability, based upon his youth. I think that he was a guy I thought was a little overvalued based upon the fact that he didn't have quite the caliber of receiving core that we wanted to see. But now that they've added Decker, just a really fantastic move for them late in the offseason, I think that that might make me consider taking Mariota at his value more often in these two QB leagues. But getting to the other receivers there, I worry mostly about Delanie Walker. I think that it could go either way. Like, Rishard Matthews could also be the primary, you know, what's the opposite of beneficiary here? I'm not sure. For me, I would lean towards fading Delanie Walker over Rishard Matthews, but I wasn't a big Matthews fan in the first place, so I'm probably going to not really have much of either of them, to be honest. But Decker, I'm very excited to draft. He's a touchdown machine.
Yeah, I love Eric Decker. I talked about him last episode, and I've got a question for you guys. Do you guys think Eric Decker might be better than Alshon Jeffrey when he's healthy?
I think it's a really good question. I think that I'd consider both of them number two receivers in an offense. I don't think Eric Decker is an alpha dog. I know a lot of people look at Alshon Jeffrey as an alpha dog, but if you look at his numbers over his career without Brandon Marshall in the lineup, and Alshon Jeffrey simply has not been nearly as productive as he was with Marshall on the field. So I think it's a good argument. I think Decker's been extremely undervalued his entire career.
Yeah, I agree with Mike. I think that Jeffrey is one of those guys who hasn't proven it yet that he's that number one guy. I mean, Decker hasn't done it either, but I think that you can look at their age and say, okay, Jeffrey has a little bit more upside still. There's still room for him to grow and become a better receiver. And, you know, he was in a pretty bad situation with the Bears for the past couple of years. I think that there is an argument to be made for him still having a higher ceiling, and I think that that's why I would rank him higher still. But I think if you're looking for more of a known commodity, Decker fits the bill. He's a guy who's probably going to be a little bit more predictable and consistent.
Yeah, and I mean, Decker has a ton of injury issues, but Jeffrey does as well. He has tons of soft tissue issues. I'm not drafting Alshon. There's no way I'm drafting Alshon with where his ADP is. Eric Decker's ADP is really low. Now, does this help his ADP where he's going in Tennessee, or do you think it hurts it a little bit?
I would think it's going to move up. I mean, I could see Decker being drafted in that wide receiver 25 to 30 range, and I probably won't own too much of him because I think it's going to be a little bit of a headache to own any wide receiver out of there. You know, a lot of people were talking on Twitter today saying, does this affect your outlook for Corey Davis and Dynasty? And not at all. Decker is an aging wide receiver. He's on a one-year deal. This does nothing for me to Corey Davis and Dynasty. It does bring his ceiling down in redraft a little bit, but Greg, where would you feel comfortable drafting Decker at this point?
Yeah, I try to think of it in terms of like tiers of players and like what other sorts of wide receivers I would be comfortable drafting, you know, around where Decker is going. And, you know, before, when his situation was a little more nebulous, where there was that thought that maybe he was going to stick with the Jets, I had him down in that wide receiver 35 to 40 range. But I think you're right. Somewhere in the 20 to 30 range seems more reasonable. Like, I would think that if in the place where you might see Jamison Crowder or Martavis Bryant go, based on ADP, not based upon talent or anything like that,
right,
I think that that's probably where Decker belongs right now.
Yeah, definitely is. I just want to touch on one other news item that we have here. There's a couple other ones, but I want to stick to the primary ones, and I'd rather talk some 2QB strategy with Greg on this episode. So let's talk real quick about what's going on with the Vikings right now. I'm sure everybody has heard by now that Michael Floyd, unfortunately, was on probation for his alcohol problem, and something happened. Apparently, he was talking about it was tea that did it, and, you know, these athletes, they have to know what they're putting in their body, and to be drunk drunk above the legal limit or whatever it was. I don't think that that's really possible, but that's totally to the side. I think Michael Floyd is basically off the team. I think we could say that he's probably done playing football. But Laquon Treadwell, they have said he, in training, like in their offseason workouts, he's been the clear-cut number three wide receiver. I want you guys to kind of talk about this. Bobby, what do you think about Treadwell? Is he someone that you're looking forward to? Do you think he has upside, or do you think this is just more like a small step in the right direction?
He's got upside because he's the unknown. I mean, anyone who's the unknown has a little bit of upside as far as I'm concerned. With that being said, I mean, he was drafted fairly high as well. So, yeah, I think he does have upside. But what is Sam Bradford really going to make three startable fantasy wide receivers? No, I don't think so.
That's the question, though, Greg. So what do you think? Like, do you think it's possible that Treadwell turns out to be better than Thielen? Maybe Diggs has some injury issues. Like, what's your take on Treadwell?
Yeah, I think that that's probably the best case for Treadwell is if one of the two guys ahead of him gets hurt. I mean, we've seen Diggs struggle with, you know, this and that here and there over the past couple of years. I think that Treadwell, you know, he has the draft pedigree. He did not perform well in season one, but that's really not all that new for young wide receivers. I think that Josh Lake made a really good case for him, you know, a couple months back on our podcast, and just as a late round flyer, as a guy who you would take late and then just see if it pans out, and if it doesn't, you cut him just like any other late round pick. And if it does work out, you're staring at a guy who's the wide receiver too. I just don't know how good that offense is, and I don't think I want to find out either. I'd much rather have, you know, my wide receivers sorted out before I have to worry about, you know, giving starting time to Laquon Treadwell. With that said, in best ball formats like MFL 10s or something like that, he's a great lay around flyer, just a guy who might put up a few scoring weeks depending upon if and when he can overtake Thielen or Diggs.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think you can get him for really cheap in Dynasty right now. I think he's a buy because I don't think his value can get much lower than it is right now. I think Bobby, in our startup Dynasty draft for the Fantasy Pros League, he went late, and I was about to pull the trigger, and someone did right in front of me, but he lasted, I want to say it was into like the 14th round or something like that in our startup draft. So Treadwell's value is really down. I think now is the time you can get in ground floor.
I'm kicking myself that I didn't pull the trigger there because I was looking at my team earlier today. You know, as soon as I drafted Zay Jones, he got hurt the next day. Then they're talking about bringing in other wide receivers. And there's a bunch of bums on my team. Like, I drafted Robert Kelly before it was clear that P. Ryan's going to be the running back. Like, what is wrong with me?
You drafted Keenan Allen, too. So, but you're forgiven. You're forgiven, Bobby.
Well, Keenan Allen is probably going to save the day. I made all those other mistakes. But Keenan Allen, he's going to be maybe the top overall player, like score more points than even Aaron Rodgers this year in PPR.
Well, Bobby's going to have a chance to draft him in our mock draft that we're going to do here in a minute.
Well, you can bet I'm going
to
do it.
Real quick, you're getting back to the Vikings. I kind of want to look at this from a different perspective. Do you think that, let's say Treadwell does kind of make a mini leap here in his second season, and maybe he doesn't overtake Thielen and Diggs, but he gives them that, you know, really solid wide receiver three, a guy who can help create space for himself or for Kyle Rudolph in the middle of the field. What do you think that does for Sam Bradford? If Treadwell's ready to take that next step, do you think Bradford is being undervalued in drafts?
I've actually thought about this myself. I received an offer from the Fantasy Footballers for Sam Bradford. They have Bradford, but I'm happy with Andy Dalton. But at the same time, I think Sam Bradford's a little bit undervalued in two QB leagues because I think his floor is solid. When you look at the passing options, you look at their offensive line, it's not really a strength of that team. I know they got Dalvin Cook. I know they got Latavius Murray, and they want to run the ball, but there's just one problem. You can't do it. I don't think there was a single running back on their team last year that averaged more than 3.2 yards per carry, if I'm not mistaken. The offensive line, they've added a few pieces to it, but it's nothing significant that makes me say, yeah, you're definitely going to be a top offensive line like I have with the Cleveland Browns. So I do think that Bradford will be throwing. I think that he's a safe floor. So if you're looking in a two quarterback league and you want to wait at quarterback and grab someone like Andy Dalton and pair him with Sam Bradford, you're probably going to be stacked everywhere else. So, I mean, I tend to think he's a little undervalued.
Remember, guys, this is the first time in Sam Bradford's career that he's ever had the same offensive coordinator 2 years in a row.
That's insane because Cutler had never had one more than 2 years, but I agree with you.
Yeah, it's one of those things where he feels like the new Alex Smith to me, where he finally just landed in a place where they were willing to accept him for who he is, mm-hmm. and they're just going to run him out there and let him play. I am curious to see if and when Teddy Bridgewater can start to make a push back for that job, but from all indications, even though like reports are positive right now, it seems like that's still a year away. I think Bradford is a really nice value, a guy who could be used as a streamer in one QB leagues. a flyer in, you know, in best ball, and like Mike said, a really useful player in two QB leagues just based upon how cheap his price is.
Well, guys, as I said, we're going to be doing a two QB mock draft today. And for those of you listening at home, you can actually compete against us as we're doing it with the same league settings. Just go to the Fantasy Pros homepage, and right there under the yellow Fantasy Tools box, you'll see Draft Simulator. Go ahead and click on that. And then our league settings that we're using, it's a standard league. We're using a snake draft, 12 teams. And then go ahead and randomize your draft order. We'll announce what we got here in a second. Mine really just sucks. and we're going two quarterbacks, two running backs, three wide receivers, one tight end, one flex, and then five bench spots. So, guys, what draft pick did you get?
I got the 10th.
I'm pick number three. So I think last show, I think I was pick number three as well.
You were. And last show, I was also very unhappy with my draft position. And you got really lucky and barely beat me. I'm not letting it happen this time, even though I'm picking number 12.
Now, let's talk about the strategy for a real quick second. Greg, now in two quarterback league, it's different. Obviously, in a standard league, we want a top three pick because we want to get one of Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson. But me, it's actually Antonio Brown instead of Ezekiel Elliott. But you get the gist. Are you happier being towards the end of the draft in a two QB league?
Yeah, actually, one of the great things about two quarterback formats is that it opens up a lot of potential for those later first round picks to be competitive from day one. And the reason that is because the high end assets at quarterback, which normally wouldn't go until maybe the third or fourth round at the highest in an expert type or competitive league, those guys go up so much in value that you can actually justify taking them in the first round, in the early second round, and you can leverage those, you know, high-end quarterbacks, against the people who are getting the high-end running backs at the top of the draft order. So it's one of the real perks, I think, of playing 2QB is it gives you a little bit more flexibility in what positions you can target in the early rounds, specifically just by adding QB to the mix of wide receivers and running backs and Rob Gronkowski. So, yeah, I'm perfectly happy with a 10th, 11th, 12th round pick. Being at the turn in any case is always something that I covet, whether it's at the beginning or the end of the draft order. I actually did a little bit of research, and this will come out in the 2QBs.com draft guide in July, that showed, basically based upon data from last year, that if you have a pick in the top three, you're good. But if you have a pick in the bottom two, you're also good, like 11th or 12th, or I think this was 10 teams, so it was 9 or 10. But being closer to the end definitely helps because you can try to, you know, drive the direction of the draft by, you know, doubling up on certain positions like running back, like wide receiver, like quarterback.
Yeah, that's the difficult part, though, Bobby. Now, I always like being in the middle of the draft because I want to see where the trends are going. I don't ever want to be caught reaching for a player just because I'm all the way at the turn. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Bobby?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm sitting here at the turn right now. And look, I want to get Gronk in virtually every league at this point. But taking him number 13 overall, I'd have to reach big time. I'd be thrilled to take him at number 16, maybe even number 14 or 15. But I just can't do it in a 2QB league picking number 13. And, there's going to be a lot of situations like that during the draft. So I'm just going to have to pick the best players available and not get my guys.
Well, speaking of best player available, I'm going to kick this thing off in the first round. I am taking Le'Veon Bell. The first two picks in my draft were Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. And I'm going back. I am backing up with what I said. I would take Le'Veon Bell over David Johnson. And I'm doing that with the number three overall pick. I can't pass on those guys for a quarterback. Even if it is, you know, Andrew Luck still on the board, I'm passing. I'm going Le'Veon Bell here.
I can't believe Tom Brady's the number two QB off the board. I mean, I understand he's being ranked that way, but you look at how many passes he's throwing per game compared to Drew Brees, who always throws 650 a year. Andrew Luck, who's going to throw that maybe 700 if he remains healthy. Brady's upside is just not really there. He was really efficient, but second QB off the board, I don't like it.
Well, the thing is with Brady, for me, it comes down to the fact that LeGarrette Blount's gone. Mike Gillisley, if you're not projecting Tom Brady for an increase in touchdowns, then you better have Mike Gillisley as an RB2 in your rankings because they're going to score touchdowns. It's a machine out there in New England. We know what they do. But Tom Brady, his pace last year was ridiculous, you know. We saw him miss the beginning of the season, but he ranked third in points per game right behind Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan. So he hasn't faded. He hasn't faded yet. They've added Brandon Cooks to it. You know, they have the pass catching running backs. It's hard for me to knock him down, and he's got a better schedule than Andrew Luck. So me, I'm teetering between Tom Brady and Andrew Luck as my number two.
Now, Greg, if you had the number one overall pick, would you take a quarterback in a two QB league?
Generally, no. I'm of the belief that even though you're starting two QBs, the talent pool at the position is still deep enough with a really big middle class of quarterbacks that you can wait at the position. And that's not to say that you can't win by taking, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Andrew Luck or Drew Brees or whoever at quarterback with your first pick. It's just not the way that I like to build my teams. I generally feel like I it's easier to get value at that position later, so I tend to skew towards that. I try to play into that. With that said, you know, there is something to be said about the predictability of a quarterback. And we talk a lot about, you know, bust rates of running backs in the first round and why that's a risky proposition, because if you invest that much in a running back and they don't pan out, you're really, you know, behind the eight ball. With quarterback, you kind of know what you're going to get. They don't get injured as often as other positions. You know the volume's going to be there. So there's safety in that. I tend to prefer playing towards more of an upside approach, though.
Okay. You know, the thing with Aaron Rodgers is even in standard one quarterback leagues, he's 120 points above replacement. So that's the QB number 13, five of the past seven seasons. Nobody else has even done that three of the past seven seasons. And so you know what you're going to get out of him, and it's a great player. Now, if you look at quarterback above replacement in a two quarterback league, we're talking about the QB number 25. He's a full 200 points higher. So, you know, that is virtually the number one fantasy player in the league five of the past seven seasons. So I would pull the trigger at number one, but, you know, I can understand if you want to wait, because there's a lot to wait for.
Yeah, and he definitely, he went here, him and Brady, top two.
So you talk about him as being that much higher above replacement, though, but doesn't Tom Brady fit that same bill? Doesn't Drew Brees, doesn't Andrew Luck, doesn't Russell Wilson? I mean, that's the argument I would make, is that there's a good chance that even if these quarterbacks do go early in your draft, that you may still be able to get a viable QB1 at the turn, at the 2-3 turn coming back to you. Now, it depends on your league, right? It depends on how aggressively people are targeting the quarterback position. And that's something that you're only going to get with practice over time, is to understand that. But even still, like, is the drop off from Aaron Rodgers to, say, Kirk Cousins, who almost certainly will be there at the 2-3 turn, is that much different than the drop off from David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell to, I mean, what running backs would be going in that range? Maybe Leonard Fournette, Lamar Miller?
Todd Gurley.
Yeah, Todd Gurley.
I actually do think so. Just because of what you said with the predictability, with the injury risk, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to give you that that 120 plus, and you know, there's like a 30% chance that Le'Veon Bell's going to get hurt, 30% chance that Odell Beckham's going to suffer some soft tissue injuries again. So, you know, I'm all for taking Aaron Rodgers there, but I do understand the opposing points. Greg, who are you taking at 1.10?
At 10, I'm looking at most of those top quarterbacks being off the board. Russell Wilson is still available, and I actually have him ranked right on par with the top four guys, but I've already talked about how I like to wait at the QB position, so I'm not going to take him. For me, the wide receivers slid. I'm looking at Odell Beckham and Mike Evans here. Ooh. And I'm just going to take OBJ. I don't have a strong preference between the two. They're pretty close. I'm hoping that maybe one of them comes back to me in the second, but probably not.
Yeah, I can't blame you for making that pick. That sounds like a gift to me. I do still have Mike Evans on the board. Matt Ryan's the best quarterback, but, you know, Matt Ryan's touchdown percentage almost doubled last year. The complete opposite of what Cam Newton did. His was cut in half last year, and there is so much regression coming to Matt Ryan that I don't want to touch him. I don't consider him a top five quarterback this year. I know he finished second last year and had a great season, but I don't think it's going to happen again. So I've got Mike Evans and then the two running backs, Melvin Gordon and Devontae Freeman. So I'm going to go ahead and pick Melvin Gordon first. I've also got AJ Green on the table, but you know, there's just so many wide receivers and there's a big drop off, as you mentioned, with running backs. So I'm going to go ahead and reach a little bit for Devontae Freeman and grab two of the top six running backs. I feel like there's a pretty deep drop off right after Freeman.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, like that start.
There's definitely a drop off after those two. And you know me, Bobby, I'm always a big fan of getting at least one of the dominant running backs. And you got two of the top.
I never do this, so I don't know how it's going to turn out.
It's questionable in a 2QB league. It's definitely a different strategy. And I'm interested to see what quarterbacks come back to you at the 3-4 turn.
So it's back to me here at the third pick of the second round. And I'm looking at Russell Wilson off the board now. Mike Evans also off the board. But Melvin Gordon, Devonta Freeman, they slid here to me. Top QB on the board, according to Fantasy Pros, is Jameis Winston. I'm not touching him that early at all. He's being drafted at his ceiling in most cases. I think if I had to pick a QB right now, it'd be Cam Newton. But again, I'm just going to wait. AJ Green still there for me. Because this is a standard scoring league, if this were PPR, I would snap up AJ Green and just run laughing to the bank with Beckham and Green on my roster. But I want to get a running back. I'm going to take Gordon. So sounds like Bobby and I have pretty similar teams so far.
Yeah, Gordon's a solid pick. I've talked about this, and the fact that the Chargers' schedule is tougher than most people realize, especially over the first nine games. But Melvin Gordon is somebody who only has room to grow, I would say, because his yards per carry wasn't there. It wasn't the yardage that he capitalized on last year. It was more of his touchdowns. He was dominant in the goal line, and a lot of people seem to have missed why he got to be so good on the goal line after, if you recall, in his rookie year, he didn't score a single touchdown. He had the most touches without a touchdown, and what he did in the offseason, he worked with Adrian Peterson. Not many people know that, and you kind of saw it. He just ran with such aggression near the goal line, and it paid off. And I think that going forward, with all the weapons they have in the passing game, he's going to see lighter and lighter fronts. We've talked about it before. The Chargers have addressed their offensive line. I'm not going to say it's like dominant or anything like that, but they drafted two guards. They picked up Russell Okung, I think it was, to play left tackle. So, you know, they're definitely moving in the right direction, but I do love the pick of Melvin Gordon. I have him as my number five running back right now, and I've been debating putting him at number four over LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, there's just such a high floor with him. He's going to get so many touches.
That's a good offense, too. You want those running backs who are going to be in the red zone often.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right, Tags, who are you going back to back here?
We are back up to me. I'm at the third pick, so I'll usually use the draft wizard to look forward, but right now there's only two picks on the turn outside of me, so I'm going with the best player available here. I'm not going to reach and take someone like Jameis Winston or Ben Roethlisberger. I'm actually going to grab Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas, receiver for the New Orleans Saints. Michael Thomas, to me, in standard leagues, one quarterback leagues, is a borderline first round pick. I think that his floor is very, very solid. You're looking at a floor, I would say, of 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns. He is the primary goal line target. There is no tight end like Jimmy Graham to steal those touchdowns. Brandon Cooks, then his 120 targets are gone. There's only room to grow. Michael Thomas didn't even start essentially until week three last year.
Good point.
Missed a game in between there, and he still finishes the number nine wide receiver. So Mike Thomas, there's really no question to me. I don't know how people are even overthinking drafting Michael Thomas with a top two round pick, because I've heard some people saying they don't consider him a pick in the top two rounds. I think he's about as safe as they come.
Who are the other best wide receivers available for you? Who are you taking him over?
T.Y. Hilton, I took him over. I think he's a little bit safer than Hilton, because in standard leagues, they're both actually better in standard than PPR. I'd say Thomas might be slightly better in PPR, but it's funny you should mention that, Bobby. When it comes back around to me, I'm actually going to be grabbing T.Y. Hilton here, because...
Oh, now, that's garbage.
That's nasty.
Because think about this. So the teams that are on the turn behind me, so I'm pick three, so 2-1, Dak Prescott and Ben Roethlisberger ended up going. So the first two teams now have two quarterbacks. So now, when it comes back to me in the third round or in the fourth round, I don't really have to think about whether I want to grab a quarterback, because I know those teams aren't going to. So yeah, it's definitely nice. So my start is Le'Veon Bell, Michael Thomas, and T.Y. Hilton.
That's pretty. That's really pretty. Greg, who are you going with in the third round?
Yeah, so I'm looking at Todd Gurley. He's staring back at me right now. Again, standard league, I assign a little bit more value to the running back position. And at wide receiver, the top guys are Amari Cooper and Doug Baldwin, both of which who I think are valid picks. The top quarterbacks are Cousins and Mariota, a little bit further down, Rivers, Stafford. I'm going to continue to wait at QB. I was kind of hoping to get Tyrod Taylor next round, but he somewhat inexplicably already got drafted, even though he's ranked as the QB 16. Nice amount of variance built into the simulator here. But I'm probably going to try to aim for guys in like the Andy Dalton, Blake Bortles, Ryan Tannehill kind of tier, and just get three of those guys with, you know, later picks. So I am going to jump on Gurley here to pair him up with Beckham. I feel like I got enough equity at wide receiver on Beckham that I can shift back to the running back position here in the third round, despite taking Melvin Gordon last time. I'm not a huge Gurley fan, but just the opportunity for touches there is really high, and so he's my pick.
Well, Todd Gurley's still there for me, too, and I know I got two running backs, but after Todd Gurley, it drops down to Crowell, Carlos Hyde. There is nobody else. I'm going to get three of the top 10 running backs here. I'm going to plug him in at my flex, and I feel like, it's nice value, and I would never really draft Todd Gurley in most cases, but we're talking about, I'm at the number 36 pick right now, and his ADP is 23, and for good reason. He's got a lot of talent. They added Whitworth. There's a lot of things that could change this year for the Rams. I'm drafting the upside, and then I'm getting my boy Rob Gronkowski. I can't believe he's still available. I feel like I am just cheating over here.
end of the third round to get Gronkowski there. I mean, well, beginning of fourth, we should say, I guess. That's not fair. He went in the middle of the third of mine.
Yeah, it's one of those picks where, you know, 2QB really changes the landscape, right? It's the one of position left at tight end, and so people just don't assign that much value to it because you have to have multiple starters at every other position. I'm not a big fan of taking a tight end early for that reason, but you can't argue with Gronk's ability and what sort of upside he can bring to your roster.
It's tough for me. So, you know, let's talk about this for a second, because I know for me, when I take Gronk in, let's say even an MFL 10, where I take Gronk in the second round, I feel like I can't take a quarterback early anymore. I feel like it robs me of taking a quarterback anywhere close, and I'm going to be stuck with someone like Andy Dalton as my QB1. Now, in a 2QB league, doesn't that further devalue Gronk? Just because if you take Gronk early, let's say in the top three rounds, what does that do to your two quarterback position? Because let's pretend that you take, you know, one quarterback, one running back, and then you take Gronk. All of a sudden, you're in round four. You don't have your second quarterback, and you have no wide receivers. Like, what do you do there?
No, I think you're absolutely right. That's exactly why I would never draft Gronk in those first two rounds, and probably even the third round, because I feel like the equity you give up, you know, the opportunity cost of taking him there is just, it's too high relative to the needs that you have at other positions. There's just so much more you have to do with your roster at running back, wide receiver, and quarterback that you can afford to let somebody else take Rob Gronkowski and aim for somebody lower down the tight end ranks. And we know that, you know, Travis Kelce, Jordan Reed, if they're healthy, even guys like Tyler Eifert, aren't that much farther behind Gronkowski in terms of ability to score, you know, and be a big part of their team's game plans. And they cost so much less. Like, that's really the big thing here, is it's all about, you know, the value of these players and where you have to draft them. And for me, Gronk is too high for exactly the reasons you stated.
Yeah, Bobby, and you know me, man. I love Gronk. I love Gronk. You know that. I just want to make that clear. Bobby, you know that. I love Gronk. I'm not nothing against him.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, he was being drafted fifth, sixth overall a couple years ago when we knew that he had an injury risk. He still has the same amount of injury risk. It's no higher. He still has just as much talent. He's just as much in his prime. I mean, this is a guy who was smashing above replacement value. We're talking 150 and 180 in two seasons in his career. That's pretty substantial. I mean, Travis Kelce and Jordan Reed, you can say what you want about them. They can get in the end zone for sure, but Rob Gronkowski might end up being the greatest tight end of all time, and he's being drafted right now. I got him at 37, so I'm pretty fond of that. I don't have a quarterback yet. I don't have a wide receiver yet, but what it comes down to me with taking a tight end early is all these other positions, there's plenty of sleeper value that I'm in love with at wide receiver, in running back, and even at quarterback in two QB leagues that I can wait and still get guys that I like. Tight end is not necessarily that way. If I miss the boat on Hunter Henry, I don't get a guy I like.
Bobby's Hunter Henry love. We're gonna get there. All right, there's still room. So, Greg, who you have coming back to you in the fourth round?
Yeah, so in the fourth round, it's a little tricky because I'm looking at, you know, the draft board here, and there are a lot of other teams, three in fact, that still don't have any quarterbacks, and there are a couple teams that only have one quarterback, and so if, let's say all those teams decide to fill both or all their remaining starting QB spots before it gets back to me, that means that nine quarterbacks could potentially be drafted before I pick again. And so I have to, you know, weigh that against, like, so am I willing to let nine QBs fall off the board and then draft Alex Smith and Sam Bradford back to back with my next picks? And while there are still some really good players at other positions available, Doug Baldwin, Lamar Miller, Brandon Cook, Sammy Watkins, I think it's time for me to jump on the QB train. Like, this is a little earlier than I would normally want to draft one, but this is a 12-team league. If this was a 10-team league, you wouldn't feel quite that pressure from the QB position to jump in. So I'm actually going to take Stafford here over Phillip Rivers. I think he's a bit of a safer play. I like the fact that, you know, their running back situation isn't quite as good as having Melvin Gordon. And I also don't want to double up on Rivers and Gordon. So Stafford and Rivers are pretty close to me. I believe a lot of the QBs left for me now are of similar value. So I'm just kind of diversifying across different offenses here and drafting Stafford.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's solid. And that's the thing is, like, I'm at the point in the draft now where it comes back to me. And as I mentioned, this is like this is so often overlooked. If you are near the turn, guys, promise me, go in the draft wizard, look at it. And if all you do is you look at the roster construction, I can see that the guy, after I make my pick here, it's going to come back around after four picks. Those four picks in between me, there will be no quarterbacks that come off the board. I know that because those guys both already have two quarterbacks. They're not going to grab their third one there. So for me, I am not going to take a quarterback. I'm going to pass again because I don't plan on taking two quarterbacks in this turn. So I am going to go with a guy that I believe has second round talent in standard leagues. Everybody knows that I love Carlos Hyde, and that's who's going to be my running. So for me now to have a core of Le'Veon Bell, Carlos Hyde, Michael Thomas, and T.Y. Hilton, I could not be happier about this start, and I'm going to get to be able to get a quarterback on the way back around.
That's a really nice
start.
That team
is crushing my team tags. Yeah, that is not good. We have a lot of catching up to do. Guys, before we move on to the fifth round of our mock draft, I want to stop and tell you about the sponsor of today's show, PristineAuction.com. We mentioned them earlier with the T.Y. Hilton jersey giveaway. That's where we got those sweet signed jerseys from PristineAuction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. auction.com. They have so many cool products. I mean, you can choose from hundreds that they do every single day. Jerseys, helmets, signed sports cards, art, movie posters. I even saw a signed Al Pacino fedora from The Godfather on there today. Check out pristineauction.com and tell them Fantasy Pros sent you. That way we can keep doing these giveaways. We're going to keep giving out as many as we're able to. And it helps when you guys support the sponsor of the show.
Absolutely. You guys have been rock stars. Thank you for all the reviews in the show. We're going to continue with this. And let's keep going with this mock draft because I'm excited. The start to my draft has been nothing but fantastic.
You should be excited, Mike.
Fire, man.
Now here's my predicament, Bobby, though. I'm a Tyrod Taylor lover, but I feel like I'm gonna risk it. I'm gonna take Phillip Rivers here and hope that Tyrod Taylor comes back to me in the sixth round. The pick predictor is telling me
not happening.
The pick predictor is saying it's not likely, but I'm going to give it a chance because I need to. I'm going to take Rivers.
You're taking Phillip Rivers over Tyrod Taylor. That doesn't sound like you, Tags.
It really wouldn't. If it was a one quarterback league, trust me, it wouldn't happen because I have Tyrod Taylor ranked. But this is me playing the game. It's saying that I'm trying to grab Rivers here because I know he would go for sure. Like, that's no question. But I think that there's a better than 25% chance that I can get Tyrod Taylor on the way back.
Wow. Taylor was gone in the middle of the fourth round for me.
No, he's still there. I mean, I haven't pressed submit yet. But we'll see how that goes.
He was a third rounder for me, so sick value, bro.
I'm not cheating, I promise you.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's the coolest thing about this tool, though, guys, is that no draft is ever the same. I promise you, I've done hundreds of drafts over the last few years, and none of them are ever the same, that's the coolest thing about it. That's why I love this tool. We all have the same settings on our draft. We're just in different draft positions. And the fact that, Tyrod Taylor or Phillip Rivers went in the third round, fourth round, fifth round, that's crazy, but I love it.
You're drafting against like fantasy basketball experts or something. I don't know what's going on over there.
It might be. But hey, if it makes you feel better, Tyrod Taylor's gone.
Oh, yes. That does make me happy. Okay, Greg, who are you taking in the fifth?
Yeah, so after all of my fear of, all these quarterbacks flying off the board, only two went, Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning, of course. So a lot of the guys I was hoping to make it back to me here didn't get there. With that said, if I look at the draft board in the other direction, I can see that the two teams after me at the turn both have two quarterbacks already. So I don't need to pick one right here. If one of them takes the third quarterback, I can live with that. I doubt it's going to happen anyway. And so I'm looking at other positions, and I talked at length about how I'm not really a big fan of tight ends early, but Travis Kelce is kind of winking at me from across the room right now. compared to, the wide receivers I'm looking at, Michael Crabtree, Jarvis Landry, Emmanuel Sanders, like those guys are all potentially number two receivers on their own team. Travis Kelce, after the departure of Jeremy Maclin, is probably the number one receiver on the Chiefs. And so I think that there's a very good case for him to be made over these other players I'm looking at the receiver position. Now I have to compare that against running backs as well. Joe Mixon, CJ Anderson, Spencer Ware, Eddie Lacy. I like Mixon a lot. He's probably the guy I should take here, but I'm going to take Kelce. I think that I can wait on running back a little bit now that I have Gurley and Gordon, locked up. I don't need to fill the flex just yet. So I'm going to take Kelce. It's a little off script for me, but I feel like it's a solid pick given the situation I'm in at the draft at this point.
Yeah, it's a nice value. It's a real nice value. Guys, so I don't have a wide receiver and I don't have a quarterback. Now, there's four quarterbacks left that I like. Eli Manning, who a lot of people think is a top 12 quarterback this year.
Not me.
He's still on the board. I'm not really sure what I think about that. But, Beckham's there. Marshall's there. They added Ingram. They've still got Shepard. Manning was horrible last year. But with that crew, I mean, I think anybody. Trevor Siemian could put up some big numbers there. Then we've got Blake Bortles and Carson Palmer, who I like. Now, over at wide receiver, I'm looking at Terrell Pryor. Yuck. Michael Crabtree, who I do like. Golden Tate, always going to get a bunch of receptions. That's just who Golden Tate is. So I'm going to go 1-1 here and hope I can get one of Bortles or Carson Palmer. I'm going to go ahead and pick Eli Manning. Again, I'm not very happy about it, but at this stage, I mean, I need a quarterback, and it's like you guys were saying, I took the running backs and tight end early, and now I'm in trouble. So I'm going with Eli Manning, and then I'm going to go with Michael Crabtree.
It's not bad. I mean, you obviously needed a quarterback. That was, I thought you were going to go two quarterbacks here and just risk it for the biscuit and just go quarter and go like five wide receivers in a row after this. But you're taking a chance. And, you know, that's for me, the reason I hate being on the turn is because you don't know what the trends are, and you have to reach. And yeah, it definitely is rough. What do you think? So you said that, real quick, I want to ask you, Greg, you said that you did not like Eli Manning as a top 12. I'm not a guy that thinks he's top 12. But I do think that he's a strong bounce back candidate with the talent they've put around him.
Well, he's a strong bounce back candidate because he was so bad last year. I think you have to still keep in mind, like, the ceiling may not be as high as we all want it to be, considering the state of their offensive line. I know that they added a lot of weapons there, and that's appealing. But just watching him play last year, he did not look that good in general. His arm strength appeared to be really diminished, and I don't know. I have a concern that he might just be on that downside of his career that maybe we saw Carson Palmer start to experience last year. Alex Smith, like, I'd see him maybe going down that path. Eli's my number 20 quarterback this year. I have him behind, you know, Blake Bortles, Andy Dalton, Carson Palmer. I'm not a believer. I mean, I think he's fine. Again, somebody has to draft him in a two quarterback format. And you're right, the upside is there. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he puts it back together and delivers that, you know, top 12 season one more time before he finishes up his career. But for me, there are just a few too many red flags. And I like enough of the other quarterbacks enough that I don't feel a pressing need to target him in my drafts, if that makes sense.
No, that makes plenty of sense.
Don't get me wrong. I was not targeting him. Don't judge me for that one. I just had to take a quarterback. So
yeah, and I'm looking at the same thing now at my pick. It's back to me. As predicted, neither of the guys of the turn took QBs, but I'm faced with the same dilemma I had last time in an even numbered round, where I look at the teams on the draft board after me on the front half of the draft, and there are still so many that need QBs that if I don't take my QB2 right now, I'm looking at, you know, perhaps maybe even a guy like Deshaun Watson as my QB2. And I don't want to go down that road. Joe Mixon is still staring at me from the running back position. Ooh. But I don't know. I feel the need to take his teammate Andy Dalton here. You know what? Hell, let's risk it. Let's see what would happen. I mean, this is another good use of the tool, right? Is you can say, okay, what if I do pass on quarterback in this spot? So I'm going to take Mixon, and we'll see what caliber of quarterback comes back to me in the next round. How about that?
I think
that's the right choice, man. I can't believe Mixon's still there for you.
I mean, this is what makes 2QB so great, is that so many of the paradigms that you come to expect, you know, all these truths that you've somehow accepted over time from one quarterback leagues, they fly out the window, man, and you have to start thinking about this stuff in a whole new context. It's fantastic.
It is true.
Mixon was taken in the fourth round in my draft.
You know what's funny, Greg, is Mixon was taken at the exact spot that you took him at. He was taken at the third pick in the sixth round. So he went at the exact same spot in my draft as yours, as you just took him. And what's funny is I have the decision now. It's like I took Rivers. Tyrod Taylor, as I mentioned, is gone. He went four picks after I took Rivers. But the guy that you were contemplating taking is there for me, and I just happen to have him as my number 14 quarterback this year, and that's Andy Dalton, the Red Rocket. And honestly, I feel like I'm kind of too low on him. A lot of people are concerned about the offensive line, and while I am concerned about that, remember that he was second in the league in sacks last year, so it's not like he wasn't pressured last year. He has the best surrounding cast. Joe Mixon, I would say that the best thing that kid does is catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a phenomenal receiver. Jeremy Hill, they're trying to get away from the guy. John Ross is going to be a field stretcher. When you have him and AJ Green on the field at the same time, what are you going to do? Tyler Boyd, they're going to make him look better than he actually is. Tyler Eifert is supposed to be healthy for the start of the season. Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, people don't know this, Bobby, is that Andy Dalton has been a top 12 quarterback in three of the last five seasons. In one of the seasons that he wasn't, it's because he was hurt, and he was actually top 10 that season on a point per game basis. So Andy Dalton has essentially been a top 12 quarterback in four of the last 5 years.
The ceiling is there for sure, and that's what you're buying with Dalton.
Absolutely. As my second quarterback behind Rivers, who I think's got a solid floor, I'm okay with it. With the start that I had combined with Rivers and Andy Dalton, I'm good with it.
That's the perfect kind of mid-round QB strategy. The receivers and running backs you got at the top of the draft are going to set you so far apart at those positions that you can afford to just take on middle of the road pretty good QBs like Dalton and Rivers.
Oh God, and I wish this was a real draft. I really do, because I'm now, in the seventh round is back to me, and to go along with my quarterbacks, Le'Veon Bell, Carlos Hyde, Michael Thomas, T.Y. Hilton, Martavis Bryant's on the board. This guy was just talked about in camp saying that he looks like a stud, and that's Ben Roethlisberger, who is a veteran. He's not afraid to say things like that. Martavis Bryant, we know the talent's there. We've seen it. It's just a matter of keeping him on the field, right? But to get him in the seventh round as my number three wide receiver, count me in.
All right, Greg, who are you taking here in the seventh round?
Seventh round. Ah, oh, man, it's that conundrum of quarterback or not quarterback again. And I'm probably not going to take one. The guys at the top of the board here are Bortles, Palmer, and Tannehill. I doubt that, you know, I think all three of those guys are close enough for me that there's no need to pull the trigger on one of them. Because even if the guys behind me at the turn take their third QBs, that still leaves me with the other guy. So I'm definitely not drafting there. So I'm looking over to the wide receiver position. This is my second wide receiver behind Odell Beckham Jr. Top guys available are Larry Fitzgerald, Stephon Diggs, Kelvin Benjamin, who I'm not a big fan of, and DeSean Jackson. I'm looking a little deeper down to see if there's anybody I like more than that. And, you know, none of these guys are really doing it for me. So I think at this point it does kind of makes sense to just take the QB I like the most from this tier. And the highest ranked guy for me is Blake Bortles. I'm not a huge fan, but I think that, you know, the hate has gone a little bit too far based upon, you know, what he did last year. I think that, you know, coming into this season with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, hopefully a little bit more preparation, which apparently was lacking in the 2016 offseason, Bortles, I think, is a solid bounce back candidate. And he still has the youth and the receivers to have a little bit more upside than someone like Palmer. I think Palmer's not even necessarily a safer pick, just more of a predictable, you know, week in and week out player. But, you know, the injury risk there kind of scares me away. And I think that Bortles is going to throw more than Tannehill, despite the fact that they brought on Leonard Fournette and appear to be on the track to, you know, run the ball more than they did last year. I think there will still be enough red zone opportunities for Bortles to remain a viable QB.
So I was all set to take Bortles too, and he still is there for me. But I'm looking now, Eli Manning by week 8, Blake Bortles by week 8. And that's one of the things about using the draft wizard is it moves so fast and you learn to deal with these things. But I wasn't paying enough attention because I was looking at my next picks. I still need wide receivers though, and there's some good options. So I'm still going to get two of Joe Flacco, Alex Smith, Sam Bradford. I can live with that as my second and third quarterback. So Martavis Bryant is still there for me. I'm going to add him as my second wide receiver. And then what it comes down to is Brandon Marshall or Pierre Garçon. Garçon might still be there next time. So I'm going to take Brandon Marshall. We talked in length over the last two episodes about how much I like him. So let's do it. Brandon Marshall, number three wide receiver for me.
I can't believe that Martavis Bryant fell that far. I felt like I got a steal with him in the seventh round, and you got him at the end of the seventh, beginning of the eighth. So kudos sir.
That's a nice value.
All right, so it's back to you here, Greg.
Yeah, so here I'm going to take Jamison Crowder, and I don't think that he's a super high upside guy, but what I really like about him is what I perceive to be stability. I think that he's going to get I think he's going to get a lot of targets and consistent targets in that offense. And considering that I tried to get, you know, high impact players in the early rounds, you know, with my running backs, with Travis Kelce, I feel like I can afford a more boring type of pick here at wide receiver. So that's why I'm going to take Crowder.
So, yeah, I definitely like Crowder. It's hard for me to envision the targets going on in Washington because people like Terrell Pryor. I like Josh Doctson. I really love Jamison Crowder. I just don't know where he fits in with this offense and whether or not he's on the field in two wide receiver sets. But that's, I guess, to be seen. My pick, when it comes back to me, I did an article two weeks ago talking about the difference between PPR and standard and what players stand out. So now when I'm talking about a flex position, I can fill that with a running back. And Amir Abdullah in a standard league is what I'm talking about. PPR, you want to get a wide receiver in your flex if possible, but in standard, running backs are actually very, very solid there. So I'm actually going to go with Amir Abdullah there. My buddy Joe Holka has informed me that Amir Abdullah, he watches the tape and he's got this methodology that he does, and he told me that it's a small sample size, but that Amir Abdullah basically breaks his model, and he really wants to see him in a bigger role, and the Lions have talked about it. He's going to play, so I'm going to take him for my flex spot, and then on the way back around, I'm going to grab Kyle Rudolph because I want to get ahead of that tight end push, and I think
that's
Kyle Rudolph, he's a guy that's falling down draft boards, and I really don't get it considering the targets that he got last year, and that was while Stephon Diggs was getting his, Adam Thielen was getting his. So Kyle Rudolph is undervalued. I think he's about as safe as they come at the tight end position.
All right, Greg, back to you for pick number 9.
Yeah, so Pickens is starting to get a little slim here. I'm not worried about my third quarterback spot yet. I don't really care if I have, you know, a Bradford type or even somebody worse than that as my third guy. I need a wide receiver for my roster, but one of these running backs is really calling my name, and that's Derrick Henry. Now, normally I'm not a huge Derrick Henry fan, but because I already have both of my starting running back spots and my flex spot filled with RBs, I feel like I can take the shot on Henry here because, you know, he really does have the talent to be that bell cow back, and I think that all it takes is either the Titans realizing that or an injury to DeMarco Murray for that to happen. So I'm going to take him here. It's a little bit of a risky pick, but again, I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I like to play towards upside.
I love Derrick Henry too. You know, Tags does as well. We've talked about it quite a bit.
Yes. Towards the end of the last year, they already started kind of moving that way to giving him more opportunities. So yes, definitely agree with you on Derrick Henry.
I could go out and grab Derrick Henry right here, but you know, I still need two quarterbacks. And Alex Smith and Sam Bradford. I don't need two. I'm sorry. I would like to get a second and third quarterback. Alex Smith and Sam Bradford are the best. I really wanted Joe Flacco here. And so based on the guys still available to me, I'm actually going to wait at quarterback. Again, Doug Martin is still there. You guys know I love me some Dougie Martin. Wow. And, you know, I've got three running backs, Melvin Gordon, Devontae Freeman, Todd Gurley. We all know one of them's going to get hurt. It's just the way it happens with running backs. So I'm going to grab a guy who, when he's healthy, I think he'll be a top 15 running back in the league. And he'll fill in for whoever gets hurt. And if not, I've got trade value. Maybe I can actually get a real quarterback.
For sure. Solid, man. Doug Martin, and he wasn't there when I picked Abdullah. Otherwise, I would have picked Doug Martin there.
Yep, that's a really nice value.
Yeah. On the turn, I'm going with Eric Decker. He's my fourth wide receiver. We talked about him before the show. And I have a feeling this ECR is going to rise quite a bit in the coming weeks. And so I'm going to grab him now while his ECR is nice and low.
Very good. I'm going to move on here, and I'm going to take Joe Flacco. I'm not, again, a huge fan necessarily, but because I took Blake Bortles, because I took Matthew Stafford, because I essentially tanked a little bit at that position, I'd rather have more solid options at the QB spot so that I can play matchups during the season. And Flacco, you know, is on a team that had the most pass attempts in the league last year. They just added Jeremy Maclin, which I do think is going to help him a lot. Gives him a bit more of an established receiver there to go along the unproven Breshad Perriman. And I'm not a big Mike Wallace fan, even though I think that he is a value in fantasy drafts. So Flacco's the guy for me here.
Yeah, no, I definitely think Wallace was a value before Maclin came to town. But I think, if anything, I think this all helps Joe Flacco. Jeremy Maclin coming there, playing what they're calling the Steve Smith role, is fantastic for Jeremy Macklin's fantasy value. And it's only going to help Joe Flacco because his options were not looking so hot a couple weeks ago. But Maclin makes it look a little bit better. Me, on my turn, I'm going to have the two picks again. And, you know, we talked about this on the last mock draft episode. Is like, when I'm building my bench, I want upside players. And one of the players that we've heard the most positive things out of camp, Devontae Parker. Devontae Parker has changed his diet. He's changed his lifestyle. He's dedicated. He looks dominant out there. He's like a number one wide receiver. We saw Jarvis Landry slowly seeing less and less targets. Them re-signing Stills cools me off a little bit, but getting him in the 10th round, the upside is there for him to be an alpha dog wide receiver. And then you come back around the 11th round, Samaje Perine is still available.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. This is not going to happen come draft season. Samaje Perine is going to move up boards, but in the 11th round on my bench, welcome to my team, Samaje Perine.
I can't wait to see what happens with him in the preseason because I'm with you, man. I think that he is a screaming value in most formats right now. Just being tied to that awesome offense, like the same reason I like Melvin Gordon in San Diego, or excuse me, Los Angeles, is why people should be liking Perine in Washington. They're going to be in the red zone a ton, and we all know that Rob Kelly is kind of just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Why not take a shot on the younger player, the guy that they specifically brought in to compete for that job? I love that pick.
I'm so jealous, Tags.
Coming to me here in the 11th, I'm looking at a guy who I've been drafting everywhere. And sometimes when this happens, I start to worry that maybe I'm overvaluing them or I'm not considering other stuff. But the guy for me is Cameron Meredith. I think that, you know, that team, the Bears, is going to have to throw more than Jordan Howard truthers might want you to believe. And Cameron Meredith does seem like the number one receiver in that offense, and I need a third wide receiver. He's the guy for me. I like taking him as a potential, you know, low-end wide receiver two here as my wide receiver three.
I think that makes a lot of sense. He's a nice pickup. Guys, I'm finally getting my second quarterback. It's Brian Hoyer. In his last 14 games started, 4,000 passing yards, 26 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. it could be a lot worse. He's definitely got the job. They're going to be behind a lot. I think he's going to be winging the ball all over the yard and throwing it to Pierre Garçon and a bunch of nobodies. But you know what? At this stage in the draft, I'll take it.
He's so undervalued. Like, Brian Hoyer's a better quarterback than people realize. I don't need to say much more than that. All we need to do is go back and look at DeAndre Hopkins with Brian Hoyer and then DeAndre Hopkins with everybody else.
Yeah. On the swing around, I'm taking Kenny Britt. He's going to be my fifth wide receiver here, but it's too good of a value to pass up. He's number 42 ECR. Next best wide receiver available is number 52 Marvin Jones. So I'm grabbing Kenny Britt now. I like his role in Cleveland, and I think he's a lot better than Terrell Pryor in that same role.
Yeah, so I'm actually looking at Kenny Britt as the top wide receiver available to me here. But over in that running back column, a guy that we just talked about, Samaje Perine, still there. I'm going to draft him. I need another wide receiver more than I need another running back, but I can't pass up the value. I'm too big a fan of Perine, so I'm
going
to take him.
What is going on in your guys' drafts? How is this happening?
The luck of the draw. Wait, someone fell to you that I was like shocked. Doug Martin fell to you. I'm pretty jealous about that, but I'm not going to complain about my draft. I will not.
Yeah, I'd rather have Doug Martin than Samaje Perine.
But isn't that one of the reasons why you should never necessarily go into a draft with, you know, blinders on for one particular strategy? Because you never know what's going to happen and who's going to follow you in which round. You have to consider every position at every pick. And all these, you know, people who are adhering to zero this, zero that, like, I don't get it. Like, for me, the draft is all about being in the moment and figuring out where you can mine the most value. And sometimes it's going to come at it from an unpredictable place.
I'll say this. One strategy I'm never going to do again is the one I did this draft, because I'm not happy with my team. Three running backs and one tight end to start. And it looks ugly because of that. So, you know, this is why you do the mock drafts, because you get to see what doesn't work and what does work. This doesn't work. I'm still probably going to beat tags on the draft grade, but it's not good enough for me.
No, I don't. You might, because I've totally skipped out on my third quarterback. I really didn't take one, and I'm not planning on taking one at this point because they're all gone. I am not going to be drafting somebody like Cody Kessler to my team, so I'm just going to stick with my two quarterbacks. I'm going to continue to take my upside options. I have Eric Ebron still on the board in the 12th round, and he will back up Kyle Rudolph for me. I usually don't take two tight ends, but I think Ebron is a rare exception where I think he's got top five upside. Finding him this late, comparing him to wide receivers like, you know, Adam Thielen and Marvin Jones, I'd rather take the upside of Ebron at his particular position.
And then can I take exception to that for a moment here?
Yeah.
I just think that we already talked at length about how tight end is not really as important when you're starting two QBs. I don't see the point in taking a backup tight end before taking your third quarterback, even if that third quarterback is going to be a guy like Cody Kessler or, you know, Mitch Trubisky or something like that.
That's exactly why I wanted to have you on, though, is because these are the little things that I need to learn, because even in our startup dynasty draft that we did a couple weeks ago, it's a super flex. In my third quarterback that I have in that is Davis Webb. Like, I totally missed the boat on a third quarterback. Ooh. And because I was busy, like, I'm stuck in that standard league thing where I'm like, I'm seeing value of guys like in a dynasty league, seeing guys like Duke Johnson. I can't push myself to take a Brian Hoyer when Duke Johnson's still on the board. And I get caught up in that stuff. So it's something that I think if you're a new two quarterback player, don't underestimate the power of a third starting quarterback, especially if it's not super flex. This is actually 2QB where I can only start quarterbacks in those slots.
We can make a trade, Tags. I drafted five of them and I need some running backs, so we'll be talking.
Good deal.
Just being able to make those in-season decisions between the guys is what's important. You know, being able to play those matchups, because sometimes even your best quarterback is going to go to Denver for a game, you know, or your second quarterback is going to go to Denver, and then suddenly Cody Kessler going to play against, I don't know, Cincinnati doesn't look so bad, you know. There is value to be had to be had with those kind of unappealing QBs. You kind of have to turn that part of your brain off and realize that, you know, the quarterback position inherently scores more than other positions, and that's why these guys do have value. And I'm not saying you should have taken Kessler at that particular pick, but justifying a bench tight end over a bench QB doesn't necessarily jive with me. Now, in the end, Ebron is a better value there. You're going to get, you know, probably more startable weeks from him. But the fact that he's your second guy is what worries me. Like, I think I might have just drafted another wide receiver running back at that point, to be honest.
Yeah, and that's what I did in the 13th round. As I came back, and as I mentioned, it was just Cody Kessler was like the best player on the board at quarterback. So I went with Quincy Enunwa just because he basically gave me He gives me number one target upside in offense. I mean, most people don't realize that Quincy Enunwa had 105 targets last year. He outproduced Brandon Marshall, I think, by 15 spots, despite seeing 23 less targets. Quincy Enunwa has not, I'm not saying a number one fantasy wide receiver, but he's going to be the most targeted wide receiver on the Jets. And as we saw last year, even a Browns wide receiver had value if he's seeing 140 targets.
Actually, yeah, Nunu was going to be my next pick as well, but because you took him, I'll go a different direction. I'm going to take Ted Ginn, kind of as the opposite type of player to the Crowder pick I made earlier. Ginn is just really that boom-bust option, a guy who is going to win you some weeks and is going to, you know, throw up some goose eggs other times. But, you know, playing in that New Orleans offense with a quick pace, a lot of volume in the passing game, it's possible that even those dud weeks turn into at least passable weeks for Ginn. He's not, you know, a super thrilling pick because you do have to kind of sweat his usage every week. But I think that he's a nice value and a good flyer to take again for upside in the later rounds.
Yeah, absolutely.
So guys, I blew it again. I thought for sure Josh McCown or Deshaun Watson or maybe even Trevor Siemian would be on the board. All three of them taken. So my number three quarterback by default is Jared Goff, who you all know I hate.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he probably has a little bit of upside, but you know what? I got to do it. I guess I got to do it. So Jared Goff, and then my final pick, you know, I could go the Eric Ebron route, but Kevin White's on the board. I mean, what am I going to do? Not draft Kevin White? Kevin White time, baby.
Yeah, no, Bobby and I are going to have a bet on Jared Goff. Greg, you weigh in on this real quick.
Sure.
Bobby and I, we haven't decided what the terms of the bet are. It's going to be something, but I bet that Jared Goff would finish as a top 25 fantasy quarterback.
That's bold. But it's not unheard of. I think that that's fine. We have no idea how much the impact of a new coach is going to have on that offense, and Goff in particular, especially because he's in his second year now, had a year of NFL experience. I've ended up with Goff in a couple spots here. I'm in the King of the Hill best ball league, the one of Scott Fish's league. It's a 16 team super flex. Mm-hmm. I had to take Goff in the fourth round as my QB2. So I feel your pain, but I think that there's something to be said about just having a warm body under center for these sorts of drafts.
Yeah, well, the thing is, so my take on Goff, though, we're not even talking about points per game. Like, Jared Goff is locked in as the starter. They're not going to bench him. He's not being benched. He's got a new offensive coordinator, guy that's known to be an offensive, somewhat of a guru. So for me, we're not even talking about points per game. I think he's going to be under center for all 16 games. He doesn't have to worry about competition. I don't care how he gets the yardage. But Jared Goff, you better finish top 25 because I don't lose bets.
All right, Greg, who are you taking with your last pick?
So it's back to me, and I still do need another wide receiver to kind of help out my bench here. So far, my only bench wideout is Ginn, and Quincy Enunwa made it back to me. So I'm just going to take him and kind of piggyback off what Mike was talking about earlier.
And I'm on my final pick now, and I'm going to take Greg's advice here. And usually I wouldn't have, because Kevin White and Tyrell Williams are still on the board, and I want to take one of them, but he's telling me I should grab a third quarterback, so I'm going to do just that. And Cody Kessler is still on the board because Tom Savage was picked before him. So I'll go Kessler here and get my third quarterback with my final pick.
All right, guys, final draft grades. I'll start us because I know I didn't win. This is the first time we've done one. I didn't get an A. I got an 88 B. Not very happy.
How'd you do, Greg?
I lucked out here. I got a 97 out of 100. So I wasn't expecting that, to be honest, considering how long I waited at the QB position. But I think the draft wizard liked that I ended up with Flacco to kind of counterbalance the risk of Bortles. That's my guess, at least.
Well, Greg's experience in two quarterback leagues definitely shined through here because he did win. I did get an A. I was 95 out of 100, and it probably has to do with the fact that I waited for Cody Kessler as my final third quarterback, which is going to hurt on bye weeks. But this was a fun show, Greg. I definitely learned a lot from you, and we appreciate having you on.
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys having me. It's been a lot of fun doing this with you. I really appreciate the industry as a whole kind of starting to accept the two quarterback and super flex formats. I think that it's something that, you know, it doesn't have to be every league, but, you know, everybody should play in at least one. Give it a try.
Agreed.
See how it goes. And, you know, if we could start thinking about this stuff in the way that we think about, you know, PPR versus standard, one QB versus two QB, I'll be happy with that. And I think that there's a place for all these different little niche formats within the fantasy community. And you know, we need to support that. And I really appreciate you guys having me on to do that. Be sure to stop by 2QBs.com. We got a lot of good content on the format, stuff that'll help you get into it if you never tried it before. We have a draft guide coming out this year that's dedicated solely to two quarterback fantasy. So stop by 2QBs.com. That's TWOQBS. And check us out. Let us know what you think, and hopefully we'll help you win some leagues this year.
Hey guys, let's read our rosters off really quick.
So my final team, as you guys know, so at quarterback I had Phillip Rivers and Andy Dalton as my starters. Le'Veon Bell, Carlos Hyde as my running backs. My wide receivers: T.Y. Hilton, Michael Thomas, and Martavis Bryant. Tight end Kyle Rudolph. Flex: Amir Abdullah. And then my bench was Devontae Parker, Samaje Perine, Eric Ebron, Quincy Enunwa, and the unforgettable Cody Kessler.
You killed it, man. All right, nice. Greg, tell us about your number one team.
So I ended up with Matt Stafford, Blake Bortles, and Joe Flacco at quarterback. My running backs are Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley, Joe Mixon, Derrick Henry, and Samaje Perine. My wide receivers are Odell Beckham Jr., Jameson Crowder, Cam Meredith, Ted Ginn Jr., and Quincy Enunwa. My tight end is Travis Kelce with no backup.
Nice.
I love your running backs, man. That's what made your team, as far as I'm concerned.
I love this team. If this were a 12-team 2QB draft, I would be very happy with this squad. The wide receivers leave a little bit to be desired, but I still have a stud in OBJ. It's a good squad.
Yeah, I don't especially like your wide receivers, but you know what is better than mine? I've got Eli Manning, Brian Hoyer, Jared Goff. Yuck. Melvin Gordon, Devontae Freeman, Todd Gurley, Doug Martin. And then at wide receiver, Michael Crabtree is my number one, if you can believe that. Martavis Bryant, Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Kenny Britt, Kevin White, and then Gronk, of course. So, guys, that's all we have for today's show. Really appreciate you guys listening. Remember to send your contest entry at contest@fantasypros.com. It's just a screenshot of your review and subscription on iTunes. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.